Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 2 of Between Realities. My name is Alex. I am joined here with my friend Skiva. And we are bringing you a weekly podcast all about virtual reality and all of the deep, so insightful thoughts that we have while we talk about it. Yeah. How's it going, man?
It's going great, man. How you doing?
Good. I've actually been super busy in my life. So yeah. We actually haven't had the chance to talk much or do a whole lot this week.
Yep, this is true. Life is very crazy, I think, for the both of us. But you know, no matter how crazy it gets, I will always carve time out somehow for some VR, man.
I feel you, it doesn't matter.
I'll sacrifice sleep, whatever I gotta do.
Right. And you know, I said earlier this is a weekly podcast. It's been 2 weeks since our last broadcast. Last week we were set and up and running, and we were so excited to have our first guest, Anthony from VR365. And unfortunately, we encountered some pretty intense...
Well, we did the whole episode.
Technical issues.
And we had a great time doing it.
Yes.
But we got to see a really good episode. Unfortunately, OBS was... which is the software we used to record and live stream this, was having major issues, and the audio was just destroyed. It got corrupted during the recording. So we do have a little bit of good footage that we can, you know, put out there in some clips. And we will do that because we had a great conversation with Anthony.
Yeah, we did.
And, you know, thank you, Anthony, for doing that. And hopefully, you know, we can have you back on someday once we, you know...
We definitely will, because he's a great dude, and he had a lot of awesome stuff to add to the conversation, so I'm looking forward to having him back on. Another thing that's kind of exciting, this is our first live episode, and I'll go ahead and shout it out to Rendered Reality. First guys to comment, to be here. Thank you guys so much. You are definitely
an inspiration. Thank you, Rendered Reality. Thank you.
As you can see, we love you guys.
Thank you.
And I love watching your podcast every week. It's awesome. So anyway, this is our first live episode, and we're kind of following your guys' footsteps there a little bit, because for me, this podcast and really all the VR content creation thing is like community, man. Like that's the thing that like keeps me watching your guys' podcast and everyone else's podcast is the community. Like to get into a chat and see everyone there and be able to participate in the conversations together and stuff, like that is what's addicting about being a part of all this, for me anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an amazing, amazing community. Everyone's great. You know, we've been in touch with a few people that we're gonna have as guests, and everyone's just been very happy to assist, and it's great. Everyone has been amazing.
Right.
And for before I forget, anyone out there that may be watching live or later on, please subscribe. Please
subscribe to the channel.
Yeah, we don't have enough subscribers at the moment to even get a custom URL. So if you could help us out, that would be absolutely amazing.
Yes. We're organizing having guests, you know, we're trying to like pin down like a weekly live schedule thing. You know, and I imagine that this first season of the podcast is gonna, you know, be a little fast and loose with some of the rules, you know, like if we have a guest that we really want to have on, but we can only get it on a Saturday and it doesn't make sense to go live or something, we might just record the episode with the guest and premiere it like we did the first episode or whatever, you know. So bear with us while we're kind of figuring out exactly how the flow is gonna be. But the idea is to have a guest and it live every single Sunday. That's really what we want to do. We like the idea of being here for a Sunday evening podcast and give everybody the opportunity to join in some conversations while they have a drink or whatever it is that they like to do when they're unwinding.
There's so many people that I'm so excited to have some crazy conversations with.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's I'm looking forward to it, whether anyone watches it or not. It's going to be amazing.
Shout out Justin Horvath. Yeah. What's up, brother? Thanks for joining us, man. Your endless support throughout all of this has meant the world to me, dude. You're the real deal. Thanks for being here.
So I guess the first thing we want to talk about, is we're gonna just brush through some really quick news here. And one of the things that really stood out to me this week was HTC, and they came up with a new line of products, and it's I'd like to just chat on that for a few minutes, but beforehand. We're going to go ahead and watch their official trailer so everyone, you know, knows what we're talking about.
Because I actually haven't even seen this.
Oh, great.
So,
great.
I'm excited.
All right. So, let us do it.
Hello, there an audio portion for this? I don't even know what I just saw, honestly. So what is it? Do they have, like, are they releasing, like, four headsets or?
So they have marketed it like they have four headsets now. They have one base piece that includes the screen and the lenses and the head strap. And they have different models that have a different faceplate that you can strap on. Now you can get these packages, right? Like the Vive Cosmos Play, for example, is the one you see up here on the screen that has just the two cameras. I don't know, maybe you can't see it on that picture, but it's only two front-facing cameras and two side-facing cameras. So there's four cameras that are there to track you, which should be enough, right? But the current setup has, I think it has six cameras.
Wait, what do you mean the current?
The current one, just the Vive Cosmos, right? The standard edition, which is like $800 or
yeah, like 1 million or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. So it has six cameras, right, to track the play space and to track your hands. The problem is they can't get HTC can't get the tracking right with six cameras. Now they're offering these headsets that have less cameras, and here we are hoping, well, are you going to be able to track better with less cameras? Because, I mean, you guys can't get your tracking right? So you would think that, you know, if I was running HTC, I'd be like, well, okay, maybe we should get our current system working well, try to boost up the way people are looking at us right now, right, and try to get a little bit more positivity towards our product, and then maybe go, hey, here's a whole bunch more,
right?
You know what I mean? But right now it's like, hey, we already have a product that doesn't really work, and have some more, right? It's a very strange marketing.
Yeah, and I guess they really need to think about who their audience or like who their like target market is, you know, because like there are people out there who are new to VR who know the word Oculus. They don't know the word HTC, you know, like people who are buying HTC
now, but
who are buying HTC now are already VR adopters is what I'm getting at. So these are people who have done
this. Because they were the first. They have, I mean, they really had, you know, the first out the gate marketing thing, right? Everyone time knew Vive.
Maybe, but that's not the case today.
Yeah.
You know, not me, you know, I started a fucking YouTube channel and I didn't know that HTC Vive was the first one. Mm-hmm. You know, I knew Oculus, I knew PlayStation had a headset, you know, but like that's pretty much all I knew, you know. It took me becoming really interested in VR to actually become exposed to HTC and what they are, with the exception of just like maybe bumping into one at an arcade or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I agree with you. They should really focus on making something work, because the people who are buying their stuff aren't going to buy stuff that doesn't work. Period. You know, they're not just going to buy the name or whatever, because
unfortunately, some people do, right? Some people are like, oh, I heard of Vive, I'm going to go ahead and pick that up, you know, and then they grab it and they probably think it's the best that VR is. You know what I mean? Like when you go to aim, for example, down the barrel of a gun or down the sights, you know, it'll move, because when this hand is close to the headset, you know, this hand gets occluded, and this one's really close to the cameras, and it's just not stable.
Mm-hmm.
So you couldn't play something like Onward or, you know, Contractors or whatever. I mean, if you cared about winning, at least, right?
Right.
So it's one of those things. It's really, it's really sad to me that they're doing this. I don't know because the market right now is so, it's so new, and people are going to base their opinions pretty quickly on the experiences they're having. If they grab this thing and they're like, oh, this is not up to par.
Yeah.
And I paid so much. This is such an expensive headset, right? Yeah. Like, they're going to be bummed. It's just, you know, just more to taint the waters of VR, I guess.
There's probably a pretty good chance that our audio is slightly out of sync, isn't there? We didn't, like, adjust
it. Oh, this is right. Yes. Yes. Is it?
Yeah. I might have gotten a message that said that.
Oh, bummer.
God damn it. We meant to do that.
We did. Well, next time. For now, let's pretend this is, like, dubbed like a... like an old Japanese kung fu movie that was brought to the United States.
HTC Vive, need to get this shit together. Come on, guys, make a headset that works.
Oops. So anyway, these guys not only have now the Cosmos, and they have the Cosmos Elite, right? Okay. Which is almost the same price as the full Valve Index kit with the Knuckles controllers, the 2.0 base stations, $1,000, $940, right? And the Valve package is $1,000, right? This comes with two 1.0 base stations. You know, it's 2020, right? I mean, I know that they work fine, but why do you want to spend $1,000 and get the old stuff? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It also comes with the old wands that have just touchpads, right? No thumbsticks. So it's a little mind-blowing to me, right? When you could go out and you could get a Valve Index, which has a beautiful field of view, a great screen, sick controllers, right? Mm-hmm. But you're going to, you know, people are going to grab this, and they're going to get burned.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that sucks because this is the second thing in a row now. Like, the Cosmos comes out, everybody gets burned on it, right? Everybody talks shit about it. And then they, like, put out something else, like, that should hopefully be better, you know? And, I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, man, I got my fingers crossed, right? They have a new prototype called the Proton. The HTC Proton, right? This looks really cool. This looks really, really cool.
Dude, but yes.
The question is HTC going to survive until they get to this?
If that is coming, I think so. Like, that, dude, this is like CES, bro. Like, I think about CES, man, and like those glasses style headsets that we were seeing. Like, that was blowing my freaking mind. Like, that is definitely where the technology is going. So the more stuff that becomes, that starts to look like this with just, like, you know, like a little like sunglasses style thing behind the ears, like, that's what's up.
I totally forgot to mention too, they also have the Vive Cosmos XR, which has two high end cameras on the front for pass through for augmented reality as well.
So you can look at the table and
exactly, just like on the video we saw, there were, you know, they have these buildings coming up, and now there's not a whole lot of stuff being developed.
What's up, Danny? How's it going, brother? Thanks for joining us.
What is up? How you doing?
And Chatty, thanks for filling us in on that as well. We even know that that's something that was, like, the one thing that slipped through the cracks. So we'll be on it. So anyway, whatever. Enough about HTC. We'll start talking about them when they do something awesome.
right. Well, not to go down a dark path here, right? but we're coming up on Half-Life Alyx. Right, and everyone wants a VR headset right now, and no one can get one because of the coronavirus. And I don't want to downplay
coronavirus,
the virus, and all the people that are affected to it from it. You know, I feel super bad about that. At the same time, it's affecting the production of a lot of different products. Right, it just is what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, everything with screens, TVs, some cell phone manufacturers. But the main thing for us that we're looking at is it's affecting headset production, because a lot of the screens come from there, a lot of the components in general, right, for these headsets. And Oculus has had to stop taking pre-orders for the Quest, or not pre-orders, but stop taking orders for when they come back in stock, because they don't know when they're going to get more stock.
So I have a story that I have to share with you. that I guess it kind of pertains to this. My dad recently became an Oculus Quest owner. I'm pretty sure I've spoken about this already. And he loves it. He and his wife use the Quest all the time. It's like blowing me away, like daily use. And that's he awesome. And my brother and I all met in Big Screen the other night. Mm-hmm. My brother's on the go. And my dad and I both have Quest. So we have like the tomato and like the popcorn to throw around in there, but he doesn't because the Go doesn't get all that. Yeah. And we were just like pelting him with tomatoes the whole time. It's amazing that this technology is actually being used to like pull my family together. Like, honestly, it makes my heart warm. But anyway, my dad owns this Quest, and he's been showing all of his buddies, and he's like has people over and they'll like play games, and he actually got Richie's Plank. And has been putting people in Richie's Plank.
Nice.
So he has this guy from his neighborhood over. And I'm going to do my best to recreate the story he told me. Mm-hmm. But he has this guy from the neighborhood over. And he's got him in Richie's Plank. And the guy's like, you know, it's pretty intense. And he's got him
Does he have a board in there?
He does not have a board.
Oh, okay.
Nope. And he's... And, well, I should start by saying that my dad called me to say that he was getting another Quest. He was like, yo, I'm going to buy a second.
Another
Quest? Yep, I'm going to buy a Quest right now. I was like, holy shit, that's awesome. You're going to have two Quests. He's like, no. He's like, so, I had this guy over. He's in Richie's Plank. I put him in the flying part, and I'm like back there, and I like try to hold on to him. And the guy's just like, I'm falling, and falls forward head first into the ground. Quest smashes into the floor, and he said it was a fucking bloodbath. Like, it cut the guy's, like, eyes open on both sides like this. And, like, blood was everywhere. And they had to take him to the emergency room. And he got 10 stitches.
Oh, man.
10 stitches. Yeah. That's intense stuff.
Wow.
So we'll probably have to have an episode about safety or VR injury or something like that.
Right.
Maybe we'll even get that guy to like do an interview with us or something. Because that is some intense shit. That like is... playing Quest at home, all is well. We're all getting a bunch of laughs from Richie's Plank, and then face first into the ground, 10 stitches in the forehead.
Wow.
And he said that the Quest was like covered in like blood, but didn't like get blood in it anywhere, you know, so it was all good. I mean, I don't know if the Quest was covered in blood, but he said there was blood everywhere.
Yeah.
And his right lens stopped working. Like, done. Headset dead.
This isn't a joke, people. Like you know, you got to be really careful with what you put people in for their first VR experiences. You know, we're talking about with Anthony the episode that never aired. You know, we're talking about, you know, don't put people in roller coasters. Don't put people in stuff like that. I mean, it's not a good thing.
It's a learning experience too. Like, you have to learn that, because you know, if you have an intense experience in Richie's Plank, all you want to do is share it, right? So you're like, oh, let's share it until something like that happens, and it's like, oh shit, we really do need to be careful. Yep. So anyway, he ended up having to drive a few cities over to go to find a Best Buy that had a Quest in it. But he found one that had one. And yeah, he did get one.
Huh.
So
They're
still on shelves out there somewhere.
Wow, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Yep.
Dang. Well, geez, man, I hope that guy's all right. And
yeah, me too.
Yeah, that's too bad. Well, moving on, we are 1 month out from Half-Life Alyx.
Right.
Like, oh my god. I have been dreaming of this moment for so long, man. I'm so excited.
So what are you going to do to prepare? It's like 11:30, okay? Like, you're waiting for the release. Like, what's near you? Like, you have to, like, you know, the Mountain Dew handy. Like, obviously, I know you don't drink Mountain Dew, but like, what preparations
are
you
taking? It's going to be really hard for me that day before. It's going to be really tough. I am scheduling time off of work, you know, for that Monday. It comes out on Monday, which is really weird, right? That's, I don't know why they did that, but you know, so now we got to work out this work thing.
Well, they did it because they had to wait for my birthday.
That's right.
It had to be March 23rd.
That's right.
Which is my birthday.
Alyx,
if you didn't
VR's
know that.
VR's birthday.
Half-Life Alyx, Alyx VR, the prophecy foretold. It's coming full circle. The planets are aligning, everybody. It's going down.
Oh man, that's crazy, man. I'm just so excited. I am beyond stoked to, and I don't know why, because I know I am going to be scared to death, right? Like, the very first thing in a computer game to ever scare me audibly to where I yelled was in Half-Life 1, crawling through the air ducts and coming around the corner in the dark with my flashlight and a head crab jumps in your face. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my God, man, head crabs are going to be really hard to deal with. That's going to be really tough. But I'm so excited. I'm so excited to put myself through this, you know, because, I mean, just to be back, to be standing in City 17, it's like, you know, the only thing better for me would be, you know, like an at-home Mario Kart experience maybe in VR, mm-hmm. right? But I am just such a Half-Life nerd, and I've played every game the day they came out from the very first one. And I'm just stoked. I'm just so stoked.
Yeah, dude. I'm excited for you. You know, like yeah. I've said earlier, like this is probably going to be the thing that gets me into Half-Life. Mm-hmm. You know, even mm-hmm. by the time I had the exposure to it, it was like the orange box was out. Mm-hmm. By the time I was actually gaming, and it was like Team Fortress. You know, it's like I'm like into the multiplayer. Like I need the squad. I need to be online with people. You know, so that's always where I've gravitated. Yeah. But of course, I'm going to be playing the shit out of Half-Life Alyx, especially because you know the prophecy and everything.
And this, yeah, and this is going to be really interesting, right? Because a lot of people who have no interest in VR are getting into VR just for this game. So you know, this might be. Think about this. Half-Life Alyx is going to be a lot of people's very first VR experience. That is going to blow minds to smithereens. We might actually see newscasts of people's heads exploding.
Right. Rendered Reality said about Richie's Plank, they said that, I think Richie's Plank experience is awesome, though. I usually walk with people first, trying to hopefully catch them. Yeah. So, like, walk side by side. Have you ever used the actual plank? Oh, I wish we had footage of this up and ready to go. Mm-hmm. But when we were we went to this convention in here in Arizona and set up some VR
Game on for Expo.
To play. Game on Expo. Mm-hmm. We'll be there next year, by the way. Also, if you're in Phoenix or nearby, you should come to it. It's super fun. Mm-hmm. But we actually brought the plank, and we were putting a lot of people's first time in VR to play Richie's Plank on an actual like wobbly plank that mm-hmm. we had to like annoyingly recalibrate between every single freaking
for the quest.
Yeah, right. For the quest. But right. But anyway, we used the actual plank, and that adds a whole nother level of immersion, man. You feel that thing wobbling underneath your feet. Mm-hmm. You should definitely try it.
It's scary. Mm-hmm. It's scary. You know, one of the things, you know, if you do live here in Phoenix, you might be getting a little bit of a spoiler here. We might be bringing the plank back with a green screen and doing a mixed reality experience where you can take home footage of you walking the plank or take home footage of like your mother or grandmother
and that's
or something.
It. It's not I mean? You, it's right. your brother right. or whatever. Right, exactly. So you can use that against them.
Yeah. So yeah, we're going to bring all the stuff to make a magical experience again at Game On Expo. And if you guys are around, we do all this for free. Literally, we bring all of our own equipment and we go there and we just set up VR. And, you know, thank God for VR covers, right? But we just want to bring VR to as many people as possible. Like, it doesn't matter. We don't need to get paid for anything. Like, we just want to make this industry, like, the best thing that could ever happen to me would be to go be able to hop in a multiplayer lobby and just get a game.
Yeah.
Right, you know what I mean? Right, like, that's what I want, man. I'm out there pushing this technology. So we can do that, and you know I hope it gets to that. So, mm-hmm.
What's next?
So next we are going to talk a little bit about a game that I know absolutely nothing about, and Alyx had me add this to the roster. It's called Deadshot
Heroes.
Heroes.
So this is kind of like going off of what I said earlier, like. When it comes to multiplayer gaming, like for me, I would use my Quest so much more. Like I would like use it endlessly if I had some kind of game that I could go into to either squad up with my homies that have a Quest or compete against other people in a way that like actually earns me some legitimate glory. Mm-hmm. You know, like glory and like connection with other people mm-hmm. are like the two things that keep me playing games. Like if you and I can become an elite squad, like I become so good in my role and you become so good in your role that when we're on a team together we cannot be stopped, like mm-hmm. that is the kind of game that gets me coming back for more every single day. And like that's the kind of stuff that gets me hooked and like keeps mm-hmm. me in my games. So that being said, I wanted to kind of just give a little bit of a spotlight and talk a little bit about this game, Deadshot Heroes, which is a game that was rejected by Oculus and the developer. Yeah, I know you don't. You can say what you think about it in a second, but it was rejected by Oculus. Obviously, it doesn't have the most polish, as you can see from the screen here. But it's a 3v3 MOBA, which is a battle arena style game where you push lanes like League of Legends or Smite, which I play all the time. Oh, okay. And it's like a 3v3. Your squad versus their squad. There's objectives. You fight against each other in real time. Like, that is what I am talking about. And any developer out there who is, like, putting their heart and soul into bringing, like, multiplayer, competitive, and cooperative experiences to the Quest is, like, my hero. Because that's so much what I feel is just lacking severely on the Quest. So this was only a couple of days ago that he posted on, I think it was on Reddit, that this was going to be free on SideQuest. So I haven't had a chance to play it yet, but I'm actually super, super excited about it. And I wanted to just kind of bring it to light and see if I can find some people who would be down to squad up with me. So if you're hearing this and this seems like the kind of game that you might like, let's try it out. And hopefully it's better than Skiva thinks it looks.
No, you know, it's one of those things, right? If you want to put games on a Snapdragon 835, you know, I mean, it just is what it is. You can't have, you know, games like some of the PC experiences that we have, you know, but it's great for the price point and graphics. You know, of course I'm a little bit of a graphics whore, you know what I mean? I feel like most people probably are. I mean, I could be wrong. But, you know, I love to go in and just admire the beauty of a game. But at the same time, once you get going in a multiplayer situation with your friends, that stuff kind of melts away. And it's just all about hanging out with your homies.
You know well, I mean? And really what this is about is that not all of us have a Valve Index and a high-powered computer to, like, see all of that beauty. Like, all I have is the Quest, you know? So if all I have is the Quest, then I need to find that game that's going to scratch that itch.
Yeah.
You know, like, I can't be holding out. Like, I'm not holding out for anything. Like, it just literally doesn't exist. It's not on the platform.
Absolutely.
You know, like, what do we play multiplayer on the Quest together?
On the Quest?
Nothing.
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 Well, no. Well, that's not exactly true. Big screen.
It's not a game.
I know. It's totally not.
And that's one of the reasons why I love it so much is because it actually gives me that multiplayer thing. So thank you so much, developer of Deadshot Heroes. One Man Machine, I think your name is, on Discord. I haven't tried the game yet, but I'm super, super excited to. And thanks for working on games like that.
Absolutely. I'm excited to try it. I'm excited to hop in with some of my friends, you know, like Alex, and give it a shot and see what it's like, right? Because, I mean, even things like Rec Room are fun because you get to do them with your friends, you know, and that game is, you know, the perfect example of how a game can be really fun but look like a game from, you know, the PlayStation, original PlayStation days. So, that's good stuff.
Yep.
So, next on the docket, Boneworks. I love this game, man. I love this game. I went through this game 3 times in a row as soon as it came out. Right? I know this. There was, you know, there's an issue. There was an issue originally where it's, you know, there were no mid-level save points or anything like that, and it would take people like 2 hours before they could get to a point where the game would save, and it really put a lot of people off from playing this game, from this wonderful game. Right? You know what I mean?
Delirium Drew, what's good, brother?
So it's one of those things where I'm excited now that this is on another platform, it's up on another store, right on the front page, and people are going to get to try this now, and that, you know, those midpoint checkpoints are there. I feel like they're there like every 5 steps now. Right. Not really, but this game is just great, and it does have a bit of jank, you know, but at the same time, this is one of the coolest experiences I've ever had in VR, and it's just so immersive. It's just so beyond immersive, you know, to see, you know, a box up on the top shelf and you think there's some ammo in there and you climb up there and grab it, chuck it on the floor and grab the contents. And, you know, it's just, they do such cool things in this game.
Yeah.
And it really hooked me in. And again, with the face hugger things, right? Like those robotic face hugging spiders, man, those things literally give me chills. You know, like they grab onto your face and you're smashing your controllers together trying to get this thing off your face. It's terrifying. But I love it.
Delirium Drew says that Oh no, I'm sorry, he didn't say that. Red Nerd Reality said Dead and Buried 2 is pretty good multiplayer on the Quest.
Yeah, you don't think so, right? I don't think so.
I feel like I was. Maybe you're not the guy.
Maybe I'm not. I mean, it's kind of like running around in Toontown, shooting each other, respawning, and coming right back. I mean, you know, it's okay. It's okay because it's the only thing.
See, right.
But that would be the only, like, if contractors and Pavlov and Onward and you know, this game we were talking about, like, all these games are already on there, no one's going to ever look at Dead and Buried 2 again. I really think that game is below.
Listen, Rendered Reality, you let me know if I need to pick it up, because I'm looking for multiplayer games, so... let me know. If I need to get it, I'll get it, and if it's good, then I will disregard Skiva's opinion when it comes to multiplayer competitive games from here on out.
All right, so
what do you want to say about Boneworks?
So, you know, I mean, really just that the game is out now with on the Oculus Store as well as Steam, and that the mid-level checkpointing systems are all implemented, and I've gone through and tested them, and they work great.
Nice.
And if you haven't picked up Boneworks because of some of the things you've heard about it, now is the time. Get in this game. I think it has. I think it's kind of one of those games that's kind of going to bring just a new level of immersion to all kinds of new games, right? People are going to try to live up to this game. They're going to want the immersiveness that this game put out, you know.
And they'll almost be spoiled by it. Like, you put it on, like, you get used to interacting with objects in that way, and then you get into a new game and it's not there. You're like, wait a second. Like, you're telling me I can't pick up this box?
They've raised the bar, you know? And imagine if we could get physics system like this into a game like No Man's Sky, right? Like, so No Man's Sky just came out with another new patch that brings in a new thing, living spaceships, which is pretty wild.
That's
right,
where cool.
you find like you get an egg of a ship, and you have to raise it and
like a baby.
I don't know. I haven't gone through this yet. Right? I don't know. You got to go out and you got to do these quests, and you know, you have to, you know, this thing has to grow into a ship.
Well, I imagine it being like the Zerg from StarCraft.
Yeah.
Have you ever played StarCraft?
Yeah. Oh man, a long time ago.
It's like an alien creature that just like metamorphoses is into whatever it's trying to be. You know? So if it needs to be a building, comes out as a building. If it needs to be a different unit, comes out as
a different unit. Right on.
Yeah. So.
Well, and the reason why I wanted to talk about No Man's Sky wasn't really necessarily because of this update. I think this game is a little bit, people kind of sleep on it a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. It is a very, very immersive game, and it's very unique in the fact that this game has a universe that has 14 quintillion planets. Like, I don't know if you can wrap your head around that number.
So like, where does that come from after quintillion? Quadrillion?
Oh, dude, I don't know. I don't want to do math
is that
right
the fifth?
Now.
Yeah, five, it's like...
No, it's up there, man. There's so many planets, so many moons, so many space stations. You know, you fly around in this game and you meet, you know, other species, and you can't just communicate with them right away, right? You have to learn to speak their language, and it's a very long process to learn to speak with some of these other races. But it's just so cool. I mean, hopping in my spaceship in virtual reality, like this was my ultimate dream as a child, right? I was that kid that dreamt about having my own spaceship, right? Like I wanted to take off and just go see the solar system. You know, that's what got me into like things like Doctor Who and, you know, and sci-fi. And but I really wanted my own spaceship, and now I have one, right? I can go and I can take off of a planet.
And it can be your pet too.
It can be my pet.
It's your pet and your spaceship.
I hope my spaceship doesn't need to defecate.
Right?
But my point is like I can now get in a spaceship. I can take off through the atmosphere into outer space. I can, you know, warp drive to another solar system, find a planet, discover it, name it, you know, build a base on it if I like it. Like, this game is just, it's just, it's bigger than anything I've ever seen before, and they've been working on it a really long time, and the implementation of VR is just huge, because this is literally another, it's almost like another existence.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I put, like, 135 hours into this game already. Wow. And I was, like, addicted to it. Like, I just wanted to, you know, you go in there, you assume the problems and the, you know, whatever of your character, mm-hmm. and nothing else exists, you know, and you fly around and you take care of these missions, and it's just completely mesmerizing and amazing to me. And to think that we can get a system of 14 quintillion planets into a video game where we can put on our face and pretend that we're there. I mean, right. How much further until we're recreating... Well,
so I imagine that those 15 quintillion planets don't exist simultaneously, right?
Correct.
They only exist when they're being observed.
Right.
Which also, you know, if you want to tie it into... you know, it being multiple realities and between realities and all of that, then, you know, you can start to have the conversation about, like, things being observed, making them real, you know, versus not, you know, that kind
right.
of
thing. It's like the ancient question of if a tree falls in
right.
a forest and
right.
no one's around to hear it, does it make
right.
noise?
Right, so we can say, you know, how did they pack 15 quadrillion billion planets into the game, but in reality they didn't. They just know
sure.
that that's how many different possibilities
but,
exist.
But there is a living, breathing solar system that I get to explore every day,
right?
Right? And as far as I know, it's the same here. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, maybe places don't exist if no one is there.
Right.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's no way to prove that.
So, about No Man's Sky specifically, I have a couple of, like, qualms with it that...
Yeah, it's not the perfect
you
game.
You know, like, first of all, number one is the fact that it's, like, playable on PSVR is amazing. However, it looks like fucking dog dick on the PSVR. Like, yeah. it is so blurry and, like, garbage looking that
yeah.
it's hard
and
to stay
they've
in
made,
there.
They've made a lot of improvements lately. So.
Graphics-wise. Resolution-wise? I mean, I haven't played in a long time, so if you've played it, tell me. What's up, Cameron? Thanks for joining us. Yeah, if you've played it, let me know, because last time I played it, it looked like shit, and it really sucked, because the other thing that I loved about it is that it was... you could play it with people who were also playing on a flat screen.
Yes.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, that kind of implementation is another thing that gets the Alex VR stamp of approval compared alongside of multiplayer and, you know, cooperation and competition mm-hmm. is the fact that multiple platforms can experience it together. Because maybe you have that friend who just will not get the VR headset, but you still have something as a VR enthusiast that you can play with someone
sure.
who's playing on a flat screen. I think that mm-hmm. is freaking awesome.
It is amazing.
So that's a huge, huge up for me.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes specifically to, like, the size of the universe, it didn't feel that big to me, if I'm being honest. Because I kind of felt that, like, the parameters in which, like, the manifestation of the planets and the creatures
mm-hmm.
Existed, I kind of felt like those parameters were pretty limited. You know,
sure.
like,
mm-hmm.
sure, there's 15 mm-hmm. quadrillion, but, like, the differences between those are pretty slight and
sure.
pretty subtle, you know what I mean?
They can be.
So,
they can be, absolutely. And but the thing is, it's not always about... where a certain thing is right now, it's about where it's going to be in the future, right? And if it's 2020 now, and I can go and explore this a game that if I tried to see every planet, it's not possible.
Mm-hmm.
It's not possible, right? So I mean, that to me, just that alone is pretty mind-boggling. So where are we going to be in another 50 years, right? I mean, this is pretty amazing stuff that
mm-hmm.
they're able to create. Existence almost
mm-hmm.
right in this game using tricks, but it's
right. I mean,
it's amazing.
Still impressive, don't get
yeah.
me wrong, but I feel like that I have to say that if I'm having the conversation about the game.
Sure.
Danny H weighed in on our conversation about observing something, and he said that quantum mechanics has examples of that, viewing something makes change. And I think there was like there's that movie What the
so,
Do We Know,
so the double slit experiment.
Yeah.
The
yeah,
double
that.
Slit experiment, yes. It The result of the experiment changes whether you're observing it, whether there's a person observing it or not. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you want to know about that experiment, please look it up. It'll it might change the way you view the world.
Yeah, you should watch a video on it. That it's called the double slit experiment. And like you just said, it's like a controlled experiment where they prove that the particles being shot through these slits behave differently based on whether or not they actually have a set of eyeballs on them. Like, no shit. Like, just observing it changes the outcome. So keeping that in mind, it is an interesting thought to have when we're talking about, you know, the 15 quadrillion planets existing, but unless you're observing them, they don't really exist.
Well, exactly. But and that doesn't matter at all.
Right.
Right. Because
it doesn't matter
at all, because, you know, that could be, if that's the way real life was, you'd never know. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So does it matter even a little? I don't think it really does. Yeah. I mean, you know, and at the, like I was saying, it's this game is, you know, this is all the infancy of something a lot bigger.
Right, that's true. And, you know, to what I was talking about when I said that the parameters are very limited, they have the skeleton. If they could just increase the amount of parameters that, like, those things could exist within, then that equation that they've already come up with to create all that stuff would still work.
So if a PlayStation 4 can create a galaxy big enough for everyone on this planet to never be able to explore everything, then what is a supercomputer 100 years from now going to be able to do? Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Is it running us?
Mm-hmm. Oh, shit.
You know, it's one of those things. That's why I think this is the start of something a lot bigger than just a game. Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, bringing everyone into it is the big thing for me. It's like once those experiences are there and everyone is getting into them, that's when we'll start to see the manifestation of some of this stuff.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, there's just like little things that prevent it from happening. You know, like the PSVR version of No Man's Sky being blurry. Like, come on, like, we're so close.
Yeah.
Like, if it was clean and looked good, then I'm sure more people would play it.
Yeah.
You know, but I guarantee there was a high percentage of people who played that game, who put the headset on, and was like, okay, well, no. That looks like muddy garbage, you know?
But to me, how is that any different than what we're talking about with some of these Quest games? Right? I come into some of these games, and they're very low-poly, you know, types of games that aren't very aesthetically pleasing. You know, to a graphics whore. Right?
Yep. Yeah, so, I don't mean, but, like, resolution and graphics, I will definitely view as, like, two completely different things. Like, it can look like crap graphics as long as it's clean. Like, I can handle a clean, shitty graphics game. But blurry, muddy. But the PSVR is just blurry in general. I'm so excited for the next
one. It is. Oh, man, the PSVR 2. It's an interesting predicament that Sony's in, right? Because they've sold 5 million headsets, right? Woo! That's amazing. That's you know, as far as I know, that is 5 times more than anything else.
Right.
So that's huge. So it's a win, right? But 100 million people have PlayStation 4s. Mm-hmm. 5 million have a PSVR headset. So, you know, they've dumped products like the PlayStation Vita for similar numbers. So, you know, I think, obviously, there's a lot more that goes into that, right? They're not going to dump PlayStation VR. You know, they see that it's the beginning of an industry, right? And they saw with the Vita that it was the end of an industry, really, you know? So, you know, it's a different conversation. But at the same time, it's going to be amazing. I think they're going to come out of the gate swinging with this really hard. Mm-hmm. You know, I should have put a picture in, but there's a new patent you know, for the new controllers, and it has, you know, finger tracking and just all the fun stuff that we all want, right? The Move controllers would be gone. Thank God.
So, do you remember seeing patents for PSVR? Or, like, early PSVR tech, and, like, did it end up looking like the patents did? Because sometimes you see a patent for something and then you literally never see anything.
Yeah, I know. So the idea of a patent is to get across the technology behind it and how it works. It doesn't mean that it's going to look like that necessarily, right? So the boxy controllers that look all funky, I wouldn't worry about that. You know, whether they curve those lines or not, you know, the patent is still valid. And, you know, that's what they're trying to protect is the actual technology behind it. So the controllers, I think, are going to look a lot better, a lot nicer.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be absolutely fantastic. And if they can get backwards compatibility with the, you know, old light track version and, you know, all the games that go with it, you know, hopefully they can come up with some kind of emulation or whatever the case may be. Sony's really good about backwards compatibility, yeah. Right? So when the PSVR 2 comes out, man, I'm going to go through every PSVR 1 game again.
Right.
Right? To play it in hopefully 360, you know, not be constrained to the cone vision of a PlayStation camera. You know, and to have legit tracking, I mean, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, the tracking's, really, it's hard, man. It's hard to deal with.
It is. It's hard. It's, you know, and it really depends on the person too, in your play space. You know, some people have absolutely no problems with the tracking, but the light bounces off a lot of different things, picture frames and, you know, in the house glass. Even
like, I mean, I've played like a million hours of Firewall. Like, I mean, realistically, I don't know, like 500 to 1,000, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I'm not sure. But I use the aim controller for all of that.
Yeah.
And I have a decent play space. I feel like my tracking is about as good as it gets when it comes to the PSVR. And I hold that gun up and that thing is like, like move it, you know, and drifting, like I can like get I can like try to compensate, and I've gotten used to it, you know, over the year or so of playing the game. But like, it would be so amazing if I pulled my gun up, and that thing was just
So the aim too, right? I mean, no one talks about the possibility of that, but the aim is so popular.
The aim is amazing.
It's amazing, and when they come out with another version, that's gonna be like the thing that really gets people into PlayStation VR, right? So like a lot of people always ask, like, why does an Oculus have a gun? Like, why is, you know, and they did. Palmer Luckey was designing one. And, you know, I think he got really close to where it needed to be. But at that point, Facebook had already bought the company. And Mark Zuckerberg said, we're not putting a gun with our name on it. Like, we're not. And he tore apart the project.
Are you kidding me?
No, absolutely. That's how it went down. So it's one of those things, right? It's like the PlayStation is going to have an advantage. Now, you know, I don't think they would say no to a third party creating one. A good one, but it's not going to be like.
Thank you guys for hanging out, man. Thanks, guys.
Yep. Thank you so much.
Yep, we're going to be wrapping up shortly ourselves, but thank you for being here. You're the best.
Yes, absolutely. So that AIM 2, man. If they come out with an AIM controller that's legitimately tracked with no drift, and I mean that's going to be a console seller, right,
dude,
there,
dude. I mean, it's such a simple concept. Like, all it is a controller that's attached. Like, your hands go from here to here.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. The manipulation of the button stays the same. Like, that's what makes that thing so good. Yeah. It just feels like a DualShock, but it's not.
Well, that's, you know, that's the other thing about that too, is it has thumbsticks.
Right. The dual thumbsticks, amazing. Yeah.
And the PlayStation Move controllers do not, which is the biggest bummer of the PlayStation VR.
Right. So, about the opposite of a bummer is getting free stuff. Actually have quite a few options. So I don't even know exactly what's going on with the giveaway. So I'm excited to hear how we have kind of worked this out.
So we started a Gleam giveaway. We figured it's especially, you know, at first it's probably the easiest way for us to give stuff away without trying to get things into the chat and trying to figure out different ways to get codes out to people, right? So we have a bucket of game codes and a bucket of prizes. And you will be able to pick what you want if you win, right? So there's all kinds of games as far, you know, there's Steam games, there's some Oculus Quest games, and there's a whole bucket of stuff, right?
Cool.
And so I thought it was a good concept, right? So, just let people pick what they, you know, if they win and they already have the game, just pick it over again.
Right. So in the description of this video right below us, there is a link to the Gleam giveaway.
Mm-hmm.
Click on it. get some entries into it, and then we'll probably pick one, maybe two people. We don't know. And then, yeah, we'll send you a message, and you can take a look at the list of games we have. And then when you pick it, we'll cross it out. And as we get new games, we'll just add it to the pile. And then as that gets bigger and as we have more viewers, we'll pull more names. And it'll kind of be like being in elementary school, like you said, like when you get to, like, you get called and you get to go up and pick the prize out of the basket, you know, or you're trying like to emulate the charming moments of your childhood here at the Three Realities and incorporating some VR games into it. Also, we have a box of the Asterion rubber silicone grips that go on the Oculus Quest controllers, which Skiva and I are both huge fans of. He has the black pair on this one. Oh, they're all black, actually. We have...
It's really, really hard to see, but these things are so cool. You know, if you're killing it in Beat Saber or in Pistol Whip or whatever, you know, your controller can slip out sometimes. It's just not, you know, it's just not the best situation. But these grips, man, they really make the controller a little bit thicker, and there's no way this thing's going anywhere. It's, I love them.
Yeah,
I really do.
No joke, we actually seriously think they're awesome. Yeah. And Asterion sent me a box out of the blue, like, didn't ask for them, nothing, boom, on my front doorstep. And I think we have four pairs to give away also. So those aren't included in this week's Gleam Cliff giveaway, but next week's we will have those included. And if you live here in the United States, we are happy to ship them out to you. If you live overseas and you win and you want those, we'll talk. We're still getting up and running, if you catch my drift.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, we want to get games and content and whatever out to as many people as possible. And, you know, what a better way to do so. I think it'll be great to eventually be able to give away headsets and to give people actual VR experiences from scratch. That's really why I want to get with this. I want to just get as many people into this as humanly possible.
That will happen.
You know,
we will give away headsets on this podcast.
Yeah.
When we are there. It's going to happen.
We're giving away Alex's headsets.
Yeah, we're giving away my Beat Saber drenched PSVR headsets. I actually have a one PSVR headset for exercising in, and then one that I do not sweat in.
Nice. Yeah. What a good idea.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you know, it's like they went on sale for Black Friday, and I was like, okay, here's a freshie. I'm not playing Beat Saber in this one, because you can tell when you sweat onto that headband a bunch of times, it does deteriorate the quality of that foam.
Yeah, and you know, it's the same with you know, Valve Index and all those too. You know, it's weird that VR Carver didn't come up with anything for the PSVR. I mean, it's a weird design to be able to do that, I guess. But yeah, I really love their products. It's really saved my Valve Index. You know, they're just great. They make everything more comfortable. My Quest, for example, I'm able to wear for 8 hours a day to use this computer monitor with both the back pad and the front pad on, and it doesn't bother me at all. You know, I mean, I don't know if I'd be able to, like, jump around for 8 hours in it, but I mean, just sitting there with a keyboard on my lap, it's fantastic. It's so comfortable, you know, without adding any even counterweight. So it's definitely good stuff.
So what do you think? Is there anything else you're trying to get to, or should we wrap it up? I know we didn't quite get to the length of the last episode, but I feel like we're kind of there.
Yeah, I think so. Well, hopefully, you know, next episode we should be able to wipe all the technical difficulties out.
Yeah, yeah. Next episode, technical difficulties should be handled entirely, and we might have a guest with us next time.
Yes.
We're supposed to.
Yeah, we were supposed to, and that guest actually needed to reschedule, so we're going to see if we can get someone in the place.
We have
a whole
around.
Bunch of people that are interested in this. It's great. We're going to have some really good conversations with some people, and I think it's going to be very entertaining, and it's going to make for some good content.
Additionally, if you're watching and you're in the VR space and you want to join us for one of these conversations, do not hesitate to tweet at me or tweet at Skiva, and we'll talk about it, and... if it's a good fit, then we'll get you on the show and you can join us. It's all about conversation and community. So I want to keep having as many different kinds of people as we can here to join us with this.
Yep. We're going to have some good interviews. That's for sure.
Well, listen, subscribe to this if you're not already. All right. Like the podcast, share it with your friends and family. Let them know that there's a couple of dudes who have peeked behind the curtain. They know what's going on. And they're here spreading the gospel of virtual reality for everyone who is cool enough to get on board and listen in. Include yourself in this Gleam giveaway. Get yourself something for free as a result of enjoying this podcast with us. Mm-hmm. And That's about it.
A thank you. We do have a Patreon. We're not pushing it because, you know, we're very new. But, you know, whatever money does come into that is going to giveaways and to improve this show. And, you know, we already have a great VIP member, Jonathan Zug. Thank you so much for your contribution. We really, 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 really appreciate it. It's going to help with the quality of the show. It's going to help with giving awesome stuff away. Mm-hmm. So thank you very much. And I guess that's it. We will be catching you guys later for episode 3. And keep an eye out because we will have some clips coming out with Anthony from VR365 and the great conversations we had there, you know, from what we could save.
We salvaged a little bit of it.
Yep.
All right, guys. Cool. Thanks again. Between Realities, episode 2, in the books. We will see you for episode 3 next week. Until next time, take care.
Bye-bye.